When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, SNR Steelers Nation Radio.
We are back. I'm Dale Lally here with Tom Opperman and Matt Williamson, and this is hour three of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio. And guys, let's go around the league here a little bit and see what's going on. The big news today is that Buccaneers center Ryan Jensen carted off with a knee injury today. That does not look good, and that's a big loss for them.
I think he's the highest-paid center in the league now after hitting free agency. The leader of a very good O-line, great rapport with Brady, typical Bucs, you know, older guy in it to win it now type of player, probably a top-five center in the league, give or take. Nastiest center in the league. That would be a big blow for them because they have two new guards too.
Yeah, I mean that's a big blow for them, and certainly to your point, I mean that's the thing too. You know, they just signed Julio Jones yesterday, so you use up a little bit of whatever salary.
I wonder if they'd have signed Julio if they knew what they knew today, right?
All of a sudden, hey, we might need that extra million dollars.
Maybe we should call J.C. Tretter.
Yeah, right. Because that's what I try to stress to Steeler fans all the time. You can't spend money that you don't have.
Right. So Using it
just to use it does not make any sense.
No. Right.
Wait and see at the end of training camp because you're going to have injuries.
You're going to have injuries, or there's late enough to process. It's just a bargain you can't pass up for $2 million for a guy that's worth $5 million.
You can't sign Joe Hayden if you don't have the money to sign Joe Hayden when he's
available.
Right. Good point.
And, you know, I don't quite remember the Hayden situation, but I imagine when he got let go, there are probably 20 teams in the league that couldn't fit him under.
Right.
You know, they're not even competing for him even if they love him.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. That you can't,
heck, you might even bring Hayden back this year.
You can't spend money you don't have. The Chiefs signed Carlos Dunlap.
Their pass rush was really bad last year. Yeah,
surprisingly.
They drafted Karloftis. You know, Ingram's gone. Jones is a star. I think Dunlap still has something.
They were like a two-man show on defense last year.
Yeah.
Matthew in the back, who's gone. Chris Jones up front, who, like you said, is a superstar. But
it was one of the worst defenses in the league. People don't look at it that way.
And if it wasn't for those two, they wouldn't get any sacks or any turnovers.
True, and they were very low in the sack department, too, and often playing with the lead. Even look at their draft. I mean, they drafted Sky Moore, but all their early other picks that they got in the Tyree trade are all defense.
Well, yeah, probably should have been the last few years. They've kind of let it all get away from them because they weren't drafting a lot of those guys earlier.
I mean, 2 years ago, the whole project was rebuild the O-line, you know, after Mahomes got killed by Tampa in the Super Bowl, and they did that well. You know, this year, I think it was all about defense.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes.
Do you think Julio does anything with the Bucs?
No, I think he's done.
I think he's done too.
Yeah, I think that
he looked bad last year.
Last year was really, really
slow.
Really
injuries.
Yeah,
you know, I bet he plays four games.
Yeah, their GM says, "Hey, we're really excited to have Julio Jones." Well, that would be great if it was 4 years ago. But he's not that guy.
Yeah, it's not going to be like the AB signing where he goes there and he has still.
AB was still great.
Amazing.
Yeah,
I think
right.
at times he flashed top five in the league still.
I agree. I thought he was phenomenal for them.
If he could just keep his head on.
right, he'd still be there.
Yeah.
Keep your pads on. Yeah, stay on the sidelines. I think they gave Julio like a 1 year, $6 million deal, too.
Ooh.
It sounds like way too much.
The money that you now don't. Unless they made some voidable years at the end to kind of soften that blow this year.
They have all kinds of cap stuff going forward. The next couple of years are going to be ugly in Tampa. Yeah. I mean, I think Tom knows it, and, you know, do his one more, you know, ride trying to win it all, and then they could really crumble.
Yeah.
Especially if Kyle Trask is their quarterback.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Just looking here to see if there's anything.
I didn't see a whole lot of action
going on with any of the teams in the division, and I'm not seeing much on here.
One little nugget that I didn't really see a lot of news on, but saw some clips and some people talking about, was Michael Thomas, I guess, is back to practice and looking good. I mean, he's been off the planet for 2 years with this crazy ankle injury, and it was no good news at all about him for a long time until yesterday. He was just out there like nothing was ever wrong.
If I had to bet, like, you asked me that question a year ago today, I would have probably bet he's done in football.
It seemed that way.
It just seemed like he was trending towards. And then he wasn't he tweeting a bunch of stuff, too, about like how he didn't
like
the Saints?
I didn't think he liked the Saints either. Yeah. And then he wrecked his ankle.
But I guess it's a whole new Saints now. So
I guess, yeah. I mean, if they have him and Olave and Landry and Kamara, who might avoid suspension this year, I mean, that's a pretty good group of skill guys if they're all right.
On top of a defense that's pretty good.
Yeah,
The defense is still really good.
And their O-line's always good.
The Ravens did make this is kind of a happened here. I didn't see it. But they signed Corey Clement
as
the running back.
Not a good sign.
Yeah, because Dobbins and Gus Edwards are still both on the pup.
They are on the pup, right.
And then they had another running back, undrafted rookie Ricky Pearson, left camp after reporting.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They drafted the Beatty kid, but he's more of a receiver, third down type back.
Yeah.
And I bet he makes a team as a, you know, sixth round pick or whatever.
So right now their running backs they're running in camp with are Corey Clement, Mike Davis, Tyler Beatty, Justice Hill, and Nate McCrary.
I mean, Mike Davis was a flop with the Falcons, he's their number one,
flop.
I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think right now, if they played a game, he'd be their leading carrier.
That's troublesome for them.
That is troublesome.
For a team that wants to run the football.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're going to play with four tight ends on the field and one receiver.
Yeah.
Your running game and running backs better be pretty good.
Over the past three seasons, the Ravens have run the ball a league-high 1,668 times, which is an average of 34 rushing attempts per game. Now, Lamar's probably about 10 of those.
Yeah, right.
But you're still using your running backs quite a bit.
Quite a bit. And I remember their Lamar MVP game year, they were unbelievably good in the first half. So they just closed teams out in a Bettis cower-like fashion in the second half of games. And they're not going to be in that situation nearly as often as they were that year.
I wonder if they start to play things a little bit differently with Lamar after him getting hurt last year.
See, I think this time last year, before their whole team got hurt, they wanted to throw the football more. I think they thought, the way we're playing, people are catching up to us. We need to start throwing the football more. And it just didn't work. And nothing worked. And I don't think it's all injury-related either. You know, like, the reason we talked about the Sandow tears, the reason Lamar is not a one was a lot of people in the quote said, He's a tier one football player, but he's not a tier one player from the pocket, and they valued that an awful lot. I think this is a big crossroad in Lamar's career right now.
I do too.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people are starting to catch on to that. You know, not only is it a contract year for him, but what is he?
Yeah, what's the legacy? You know,
I talked to Brian Flores today. And I asked him about the game against the Ravens last year, and he says, "Look, I think he's a phenomenal football player.
And he is.
But is he a phenomenal quarterback? That's
the question. I mean, his MVP year was awesome, and I'm not taking anything away from him. He could be my quarterback any day. But that MVP year, no one had any clue how to defend him yet. You know, they sprung that on people. You know, without any notice, or everyone went to the drawing board after that year and came up with ideas, and now that's their turn to answer.
And that Titans playoff game that year too,
that
was
ugly. That
he
was
did not
ugly.
Look good.
No,
they just decided, you know what, we're gonna make you pass, like, you're going to have to pass against us.
That's what everyone's gonna do
well.
Against him, you know, and he can still hurt you. I mean, there's no doubt, but winning from the pocket's never gonna go away.
No, that's the thing about it goes back to Mike Sullivan's comment today. You could, you can roll out and run and do all that stuff, but if you can't hit the broadside of a barn throwing the football, it doesn't do you any good.
And people don't talk about pass rush plans very often, but if I can pass rush you, not necessarily I want to get a sack, I want to get a quarterback hit, but if I want to make you sit in the pocket, even if you're as talented as Lamar, I can scheme up a pass rush to keep you in the pocket and you have to make throws.
That's what teams did to Cordell Stewart.
And if you're, right.
You know, right now, Lamar, he's not at the situation that Cordell was in. But if you remember, Cordell in 97 was the next big thing.
Oh, right.
You know, 32 combined touchdowns.
Right. He was like a first-round pick in fantasy then.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And
right.
Then, you know, and then it got ugly because, we're going to keep him in the pocket.
Did he?
Make him throw the football.
I don't remember him well enough. I mean, with, the expert cap on at the time. Was he just not enough a good enough pocket passer when it was said and done? Or I know times were obviously way different.
Yeah, I mean, he was better than some of the guys that are in the league now who are these running quarterbacks. But the team around him was just – they didn't have star receivers then.
Yeah.
You know, if you remember, they were still built to run the football.
Mm-hmm.
But when he had like Yancey Thigpen and Charles Johnson, the now late Charles Johnson, some talent at the wide receiver position, they were pretty good. When they were running Courtney Hawkins, no offense to Courtney Hawkins,
but that's not getting it done.
That's not. Mm-hmm. You need better than that.
Which might be, I mean, the Ravens have some Courtney Hawkins out there.
They've got Courtney
playing.
Hawkins, yeah,
right.
That's what I'm
and
saying.
They got Bateman and Courtney Hawkins.
Yeah,
right.
So it's not the same. I mean, those guys are NFL receivers, but.
Do you think Cordell would have been as successful as Lamar if asked to do the same things now?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe more so.
Maybe more so.
Because
he was the unicorn back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are other quarterbacks in the league now who are like Lamar. Or
Kyler.
Lamar-ish.
Yeah.
Cordell was on his own tier back then.
Yeah.
You know?
I was pretty sure that I was going to pick the Ravens to win the North this year. But you guys, the way you're talking right now, kind of makes me feel it's a little bit sketchier. I have a feeling you two are leaning more towards the Bengals repeating.
I've been leaning towards the Ravens in a big way just because of how hit they were by injuries. And I trust their coach more than I trust the Bengals coach.
Okay.
The Ohio coaches I don't trust like the PA and Maryland coaches.
Right.
There's a
huge gap between those two teams and the other two teams.
Yeah. But there's some questions in Baltimore right now too, though.
We've talked about it before, Matt, is Ronnie Stanley.
That's their most pivotal player.
I mean, they'll find
Dobbins
a running back.
Dobbins is fine, but, I mean, if they don't have him, it's not going to derail their season. Stanley is
They don't have
crucial.
An answer at left tackle.
No, and they have a lot invested in him. And he's on PUP right now.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Was that like a year and a half ago he got hurt against the Steelers?
Yeah, he hasn't played. He's played like four games in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
not to sound callous about the human being, but you give him a contract, he gets hurt the next day. I mean, that's like bad for business.
That's bad juju
right.
there.
Yeah. I mean, it's bad for the cap.
Yeah, for sure. And still, nothing on the Deshaun Watson situation.
Right. I mean, it sounds like they're not in the Jimmy sweepstakes.
In fact, as I mentioned yesterday, Kevin Stefanski telling reporters that, if something happens there, we're ready to go with Jacoby Brissett. Good luck with that.
Yeah. I mean, he's a good two. If it's four games, that wouldn't bother me.
Yeah.
If it's 12, it would bother me. If it's indefinite, it would really bother me.
It feels like any morning now, you're going to wake up to the news.
Yeah.
Right? Or
I guess.
As the league works, more like Friday afternoon.
I'm really surprised.
Late.
Like, there's not even been any, like, real, well, here's where the league's leaning.
The leaking of it, right?
Yeah, any leak kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just
originally, it sounded like it'd probably be a year.
Yeah,
and then the latest rumblings are less, but I don't think anybody has a clue.
I don't think they do either.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. You know, that's the problem. The thing is this is an independent arbiter that
they don't really care about the NFL season and schedule.
No.
Right. I mean, I'm partial because I'm a football guy and I look at it through a football lens. I kind of feel like the Browns are owed an answer by now. But I don't think that arbiter cares one bit.
They're
worried about the victims.
I don't think the Browns
are owed
anything because the league is mad at the Browns for something. Like, when I say the league, I mean the other 31 teams are mad that the Browns did this.
Yeah.
Especially all the guaranteed money they get.
Yeah, the guaranteed money is the big thing.
The contracts.
The big middle finger, though, is giving them a $1 million contract this year. Yeah. I mean, that's just blatantly.
Didn't you bring that up yesterday? The league should have been like, hold on a second.
Right. Like, you're really sticking it to us.
Well,
you're telling us he's going to get
suspended. The people in Cleveland are all like, but that's what they do with their contracts. That's how they build these contracts. And I get it. But.
Yeah, it's a little fishy.
That's a little too fishy.
Yeah.
Near $1 million.
$1 million, yeah.
Yeah, so he gets 1/17th of every game he's suspended of $1 million. Yeah, it's like, that's not that much when you just got a big check.
It really is not. We're going to take another break. He is Matt Williamson. That is Tom Opperman, the shirtless one. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. The Steelers completed their second practice just a little bit ago. We are live from St. Vincent College. We'll be back with more right after this.
Let's go play some ball.
Always talking black and gold football on SNR. This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
I like that little intro music.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do.
Gets you going, gets the people going.
Feel a little, you know.
You know, I wrote it.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
I knew you were a songwriter.
Yeah.
I knew that.
There was a bunch of beds that they had me write and perform for a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, I did know you were a songwriter and performer.
Well, multi-talented.
A bit of everything. I'm an everyman, yeah.
Everyman. That is shirtless Tom Opperman. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. Welcome back to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. And the Steelers did open with 7 shots today when they opened practice. Mitch Trubisky was 3 for 4 with 3 touchdowns.
All right.
Zach Gentry dropped the other pass, so he would have been 4 for 4.
I saw him drop a couple passes today, actually.
That's not what he's here for. Yeah.
Block the man in front of you.
Yeah. Mason Rudolph was 1 for 3, nearly had an interception. No Kenny Pickett in 7 shots.
Okay.
Interesting.
Sticking with that rotation of 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, the delineation seems very clear right now.
I
mean,
yeah.
And again, that's not a bad thing about Pickett. I mean, this is a nice long-term plan for the first-round pick.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we'll, you know, I think that that's going to continue. I don't see it changing. I just don't.
I don't either. I think we're going to...
Pickett would have to blow their doors off.
We're going to go Paul Brown Stadium, September 11th.
Yeah.
Probably Mason with the backup helmet.
I seem to think that's the case. And I don't know why this is a huge, you know, shock to people. Because I think this was their plan the second they signed Trubisky, before they even knew who they were.
Well, people
draft.
Just hate Mason. That's why.
Well, that part, right. Yeah. That I kind of get. But, I mean, Trubisky's contract is not a starter contract. But, I mean, I think when their intentions were sign this guy and start him.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
Deontay Johnson working on his own on the side again. I don't know. I don't think this is going to be a prolonged thing. But I also don't know that he's going to get a new contract.
I don't feel half as strong about this one as Minka or TJ.
I knew those were going to get
this
done.
One, I think, is a 50-50 type of deal.
Yeah, I think they'll make him an offer at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But then it'll be up to him whether he takes it or not.
I forget who we were talking to and whether it was on the air or off, but somebody that I trusted basically said they're going to put a contract in front of him, he's going to sign it or not. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a lot of back and forth and, well, we think you're worth this. You think? I mean, this is the offer. We can figure out ways to move on without you if you're not interested. But we'd like to keep you, and it's going to be a substantial one. But it's not going to be A.J. Brown, McLaurin money.
Here's an interesting Deontay stat from NFL Research's Twitter account. Most receiving yards when aligned wide in 2021. Justin Jefferson was number one. That makes sense.
Yeah,
right? 1,180 yards. Jamar Chase was number two.
Okay.
1,164. And then Deontay
was
number three. 1,117 yards while aligned wide.
Wow. He doesn't line up in the slot all that much. And he's been highly productive every year.
You've been saying it, too.
Yeah.
You don't see many slot characteristics with him. He seems more like a...
Like he's an outside beat man coverage, one type guy.
It doesn't matter that he doesn't have a two-way go. He still finds a way to get open and to get open quickly. And that's why Ben targeted him so much. I talked to Deontay yesterday, and I asked him about, you know, I said, do you see your targets going down? He goes, no, I don't.
Targets are earned, and he gets open.
Yeah.
I don't care who the quarterback is.
They're going to see that.
Yeah, right.
Hey, look, there's Deontay's open.
Yeah. I mean, Ben's gone, but you think Mike Tomlin and Matt Canada don't realize he gets open?
Right.
You know, and design plays for him to be the primary read?
And I know people look at how he finished down the stretch last year, and I saw some people tweet the numbers out. Well, he only did this the last 4 or 5 games of the year. Can't throw the ball to yourself.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the reality of it. And, you know, by the end of the season, Matt, we've often talked about this with some of the older quarterbacks. They wear down at the end of the year.
Yeah, weather starts to take its toll and the hits and, you know, bones are a little creaky, and Monday's not as fun as it used to be. And yeah, it shows.
So don't you got to take that with a grain of salt. But, you know, that's, again, it's that wide receiver position where you can't get the ball to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still a very productive wide receiver. I would like to see the depth of target go up for him and everybody.
I'd be shocked if it doesn't.
I'd be really surprised if it doesn't. I'd also like to see them get a little more run after the catch.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's Debo Samuel, you know, but I think that he can make a guy miss.
He's a guy that was an all-pro punt returner in 2019. Yeah. You know, led the league in punt return average. Mm-hmm. I mean, that tells you that he's pretty slippery in space.
The Steelers are very, very well known for having great success drafting wide receivers, especially out of round one, you know, and he's a perfect example. And there's many, many going back to Antonio Brown. And I am convinced, and I bet if Kevin Colbert were sitting here, he would tell you, we want punt returners. You know what I mean? Yeah. Guys with the ball in their hands that have that juke, that make you miss, that vision. And I think people, that's a great point, Dale, because I think people forget about Deontay as what he could do as a returner.
Yeah. You know? You're talking about a guy as a receiver in his first three years. He's been an all-pro, and last year was a Pro Bowl guy.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
I mean, it's not AB-like, but who else has had a better start of their career? It's better than Juju. It's better than Claypool. Yeah. It's better than
I mean, we
Wallace.
Went through all those numbers early in the offseason about where he ranks in that rookie class or that 2019 receiving class. And you were talking about Metcalf, McLaurin. Who else is in that class?
AJ Brown.
I mean, there's some good players in that draft class.
He's so off the radar.
He's top three in everything.
He's right there with them all.
Yeah, Tom, you had that stat about him as an outside receiver. Really, any receiving stats you look at,
he's surprisingly there. Right?
He's there with like Davante Adams, you know, and over the last 3 years.
You're like, what the heck is that?
Cooper Kupp and Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill and Deontay. You know,
and yet so many Steeler fans seem to be ready to just let him go.
I wonder why the perception's like
he's not
that.
A star. I mean, what's your definition of a star?
Do you think it's the drops early? Do you think that's just been seared into people's
people
brains?
Still, you know, he still talks about it. Mm-hmm. It still bothers me.
It was wild in 2020.
He had six drops all of last season.
Yeah.
And how many targets did he have, though?
Right. But he was third in the league in targets, and he wasn't in the top three in drops.
I mean, his drop percentage wasn't bad last year at all.
No,
it was middle of the road or above average.
Keenan Allen led the league in drop passes last year.
Yeah.
Tied with Jamar Chase.
Nobody talked about
Jamar Chase dropping a bunch of passes as a rookie.
Right. They all did in preseason because the ball doesn't have the strike, blah, 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 blah. But he drops passes, you know?
Yeah.
And I will tell you, I know this for a fact, and people will laugh it off and say, nah. Coaches don't hate drops. If you get open.
They hit third down drops.
I mean, no one likes them. But even like a guy coming out of college and you write a report for them. Across the league, if one of the negatives are drops, I can live with it, you know? Yeah. I mean, if he's getting open and doing the other stuff, getting open's the hard thing, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, you dropped two that you shouldn't have over the course of the year that, you know, the average receiver wouldn't have. Okay, you know, yeah, I'd love to have Larry Fitzgerald, never has a drop ever. But a drop here and there, okay, it's second and 10. We'll get over it.
That's what I said about to your point about getting open. I said that about Lima Swede when he was going through his problems. I'm like, I don't know if people understand, like, he was getting wide open.
He did the hard stuff.
He did the hard thing.
Right.
He got wide open in the NFL down the sideline several times. But it was the completion of the
right. You got to keep
the
reservation.
He couldn't
keep the reservation. That's the key.
That's
to catch the football.
I mean, I don't want stone hand guys.
Right.
But I mean, a lot of the top receivers in the league will have their share of drops. I mean, Amari Cooper led the league. He had like 30 one year.
Yeah. They're not all Larry Fitzgerald out there.
No,
just
right,
snagging
right,
everything.
Right. Okay, it's second and three, and you drop one.
Eh, whatever.
We'll live again.
We'll get the next one. Again, that's those third downs or the drops in the end zone that they get magnified.
They're certainly game-changing plays, but, you know.
And the other thing that he talked about is it's kind of like the baseball analogy that I always use with my players. Like, hey, everybody's going to strike out.
Mm-hmm.
No matter who you are, baseball's a game of failure. If you bat 300 in Major League Baseball, you're going to be a Hall of Famer.
Right. So
seven outs every time.
That's seven outs. Yeah.
Play ten
so
times.
You're going to happen. You're going to hit the ball hard. You're going to get out. You're going to hit a little soft one, and it's going to drop in for a hit. That's just the reality of it. You're going to strike out. It's what do you do after that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's talked about that. I think he's realized that like when he didn't have a drop for like the first 10 games last year. But then they started happening, and then it got in his mind again that I'm going to drop the football. And so then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. I think now he's realized those drops are going to be like strikeouts. I may drop one, but I can't drop two. I can't drop three.
See, I think, and you kind of alluded to this. I mean, 2 years ago, there was a stretch where it was in his head.
Yeah,
and the ball was eating him up, and he was thinking about it, I'm sure, and he had the yips or whatever.
That Buffalo game, he ends up being benched because of it, because he had the yips.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, if that never happens, no one looks at him last year and be like, boy, this guy's got a real drop problem.
Yeah.
You know, he had a bad month of his career going back to college. It's never been an issue for him. He had a bad month over the course of his last 8 years of playing football.
Dale, going off of what you said about him saying, you know, everybody strikes out, that's what you do after. I think about the Week 12 game against Baltimore last year where he had a drop early in the game and everybody was like, oh, here we go again with Deontay.
Yeah.
Was on fire in that second half, finished with over 100 yards, had two touchdowns. It's exactly what he's talking about. Don't worry about the drop. Bounce back and score two touchdowns
Tommy,
in the second half.
You know, you were a basketball player like I was. I mean, you miss those first four shots. If you're the shooter, though,
you have to keep shooting.
You don't think, "Oh, I'm going to take this shot, but I'm going to miss it." You take that next shot.
No, your teammates are going to get mad at you if you just stop shooting. Like, if Deontay just goes to stop throwing me the ball, guys, I'm not catching it the rest of the game. Like, dude, we need you to catch it eight times to have any success.
If you're the shooter, you shoot the basketball. Yeah. Even if you miss your first four or five shots, you think those next four or five are going to go in.
Yeah, or you get the line somehow, or, you know, you change things up a little bit. Throw him a bubble screen, get his confidence back. Or, you know, I mean, there's ways to get these guys the ball or to get them on the right track.
Yeah, so this is going to be an interesting situation. Again, I don't expect it to linger. I don't expect it to be like T.J. Watt where he doesn't practice at all in the preseason or play.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if he'd play anyway in the preseason.
I think there'll be a definitive moment in this situation where – either the team goes to him, again, makes him an offer, says, this is our offer, take it, you know, you can either accept it, but let's move on with this whole thing.
Hypothetical, let's say we get off the air and comes across the Steelers and Deontay Johnson agree to a term. Okay, whatever. Do you think he plays in the preseason anyway? Like, I want to see Boykin. I want to see Miller. I want to see the
That's
two
the
rookies.
That's the other part of this.
You know,
they've
right.
Got
like,
so many
I want to
guys
save them.
That,
right.
Yeah.
But on the other side of the coin, don't you kind of want to see the new offense
Trubisky
against a different team?
Yeah,
just for one, not to play him in every game, but that second preseason game, one quarter, starting offense, maybe not a full quarter for guys like Najee, maybe one series for Najee, then you pull him back. But at least something of, okay, Mitch, you're number one, you have all your weapons, it's a different team out there, let's see what you do in a quarter.
Did Najee play any last year in the preseason? I don't think so. Or maybe
two
minimal.
Carries.
Yeah, very, very minimal. But you're right, though. This offense is very new.
And just new quarterback,
new
too.
Quarterback.
So big.
So maybe he does. I kind of thought he'd be one of the offensive guys that have the least chance to play.
Maybe he's more the, like, one series and then you're done. Mm-hmm. And the majority play the quarter, but the stars, Deontay,
first two
Pat,
games maybe play
Najee,
a quarter. Right,
not
right.
Much.
Yeah, interesting.
Well, that,
I do want to see those other receivers.
Yeah, that whole preseason snap count thing is going to be interesting this year.
Yeah.
With just three, and you got to get a quarterback ready to play, and you've got an entirely new offensive line for the most, like a bunch of new.
They're
going to
need some reps.
Got to get reps with those guys.
Yeah, in real live game situations, picking up stunts and things like that too, and hot reads and all that stuff that comes with it. Yeah,
I haven't been excited for a preseason game in decades. I mean, seriously,
yeah,
really.
Right,
like,
right.
There's a lot of stuff that you need to figure out in the preseason, but when you have your franchise quarterback, you know things are going to go pretty well in the regular season. You don't really need to see much, but
yeah,
this
and you
is
knew
so
was
different,
play
right? Exactly. So like, this is just so different of an experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was what, like, 7 years old the last time that they didn't have Ben Roethlisberger out here, and preseason games actually mattered as far as the quarterback reps were concerned.
And we've kind of dismissed, you know, Pickett fighting for the job. I can't wait to watch him play in live action.
Right,
though.
Exactly.
Right. I mean,
even if it's a fourth quarter.
Right,
yeah.
Right, exactly. You know, he's going to play a lot, I would think.
And like, I imagine, you know, for the two of those preseason games are at Heinz Field.
Yeah.
It's Acrisure Stadium now. How dare you?
I've avoided saying it.
Thank you very much, Tom.
These last 2 days, 100%.
Yeah, Acrisure Stadium. That's going to take a while. Acrisure Stadium. I got to keep saying it over and over again. I don't have a problem with that, like some fans seem to.
I don't have any problem with it at all. Just win football games.
Get as much money.
Are they still
as you
the Steelers?
On that stuff.
Like, yeah.
The product on the field is the product on the field.
I love the people that are like, I had so many memories there. It's the same
it's the
damn
same
stadium.
Like, they didn't blow it up.
I know.
Right. Hey, I like their ketchup as much as the next guy, and the red zone stuff was cool, and the big ketchup bottles were kind of unique, but Do you really think it's going to change the experience one bit?
Not one bit.
Right.
In fact, it may, you know, because they're getting more money out of this naming deal, it may be better. They may be able to put some money into that to make the fans better.
That's what I'm saying. More money for the organization might have a ripple effect for everyone involved. I mean,
absolutely.
Who knows?
Right, right, right. Absolutely.
Why is that a bad thing?
God love Acrisure for stepping up.
Heck yeah.
You know, we'll get used to it. Everybody will get used to it. I mean, you know, it's just the reality of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for that last preseason game, I would imagine Kenny Pickett starts it and plays most of it.
Just gets it. That's your game.
And then maybe,
like they
maybe
did
that
with
might
Haskins
be the first
last
time we
year,
see
right?
Chris Olonekon throw a pass because he still hasn't thrown one on the field in training.
Maybe he gets
camp
the fourth quarter of the third game or something. There you go, Chris.
Talk about a trial by fire there.
Yeah, right, right. Do you think Pickett gets more snaps in the preseason than Rudolph? I bet he gets the most snaps, period.
Probably, yeah, because, again, he's going to play – if he plays that or the majority of that final game
mm-hmm. –
He'll
appear in all three games.
Yeah, he'll play in all three, and I would assume that
– It wouldn't shock me if Rudolph doesn't appear in one of the games.
Yeah, this is not a Landry Jones-type situation where that preseason Landry didn't play – hardly played at all.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to, you know, get Rudolph some snaps, and he's – getting a legitimate shot to be the starter. I mean, they're evaluating it. They're not just mm-hmm. paying lip service to that. I think they want Trubisky to be the starter. But, you know, if Rudolph's better. I mean,
I think that would shock everybody, but yeah.
It's not like they have, you know, a ton invested in Mitch Trubisky. They say, they didn't pay him $25 million. He's the starter.
Right. I mean, it's not like, Ben's preseason hasn't been so good, you know.
Yeah.
Who cares what it's doing? He's still going to start. You know,
but
right,
if Trubisky goes out there and throws 8 interceptions in the preseason, you know, that's different.
They might have to have a meeting.
Yeah. You know, right. Might need to talk about it a little bit.
He's not reading coverages. He's not getting the ball in his hands. Yeah, we might have to have a discussion.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, let's take another break here.
All right. One more segment, huh?
One more to go.
We'll finish up the show. Absolutely. We'll do that when we come back. He is Tom Offerman. That is Matt Williamson. And I am Dale Lally. You are listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back to finish up the show live from Steelers training camp right after this.
...24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson and the great Tom Opferman. Here with us, gracious enough to join us here for these practices here as we get through our shows here at St. Vincent College. And a little breaking news here in the NFL. The Jets are signing linebacker Quan Alexander.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. It's about that time of year where some of these dominoes
drop.
You've seen the camp a little and – we'll pick up Julio. We'll pick up Quan Alexander, you know.
Yeah.
Joe Hayden.
That's a big one in the NFL.
Yeah, that's kind of been my point all along with people, as soon as minicamp ended, the Steelers are going to sign this, they're going to sign that. Like, there's time. There's mm-hmm. still a lot
there
of good
time.
Veteran players out there who are going to play in the NFL this season.
A lot of them.
And they're just not with the team yet. And they may not be real keen on signing at this time of
year. I mean, OBJ is still out there.
Yes.
He had a resurgence in L.A. You'd think that he'd be on the top of a lot of teams' wish lists.
Well, he's coming off an ACL, so.
Okay, so maybe not at the top of the wish list, but it's right there at number two or number three.
But if I'm the Packers.
Right?
Yeah, I mean,
the Ravens.
I could withstand 2 or 3 months without him, and then he comes back for hopefully a playoff run, you know, or the Colts, you know, teams like that. Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. We just got a tweet about 20 minutes ago, and I think it's an interesting conversation.
Okay.
He asked the three of us. His name's Mae Joelner. And he's tweeted us quite a bit. He said, you know, would you be interested in bringing in Darrell Williams or J.C. Tretter? I never think it's a bad idea to have an extra offensive lineman. J.C. Tretter's best day is better than any center on this roster, and I'm not including Daniels in that mix. He's a good movement guy. He's his own blocker. Darrell Williams has played a lot of snaps at tackle. I think there might be an injury with
him.
There
might be something there, yeah.
But one-year deal, you know, a couple million bucks. And I'm also thinking long-term that even if they're, you know, they leave the team and they sign a nice contract a year from now, that helps your comp stuff. Those kind of moves I don't have a problem
with. I would be shocked right now if J.C. Treader doesn't end up in Tampa Bay.
That seems like a very logical move if they have anything resembling cap space.
Yeah.
I also thought he has a chance to be a Niner after Alex Mack retired. I think he's got a Browns connection or whatever with those guys, too.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, with some of these old guys that are still out there, you don't know how healthy they are.
Well, that's key, yeah.
They may be dealing with something that you just don't know. You don't know, again, maybe they don't want to.
Not all of them are motivated to get to camp
through 2 weeks of training camp.
Right.
You know,
like,
sign me with, call me back at 2 weeks before the regular season.
I don't have good cell service, agent. Yeah. Sorry.
And I'm sure that those two players, Odell, all these guys, have had plenty of conversations with teams. I mean, their agents know that there's.
Their teams are checking in with them to see, how's Odell's knee coming?
Like, I'm sure J.C. Treader's agent has. He knows his client will be on one of five teams.
Yeah.
Well, we're just going to wait it out and see who gives us the best deal and what's the best fit. But there's no rush. He's going to be on. He's going to play football this year.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, a lot of those guys are. So, I don't rush to sign somebody just because hey, we got this money burning a hole in our pocket.
An extra O lineman though would never be a bad move in my opinion,
especially at the tackle spot.
Yeah, Kevin Colbert said that after the season last year that he wished he would have signed an extra. They
one
would have
more
one
guy.
More.
Yeah,
but I kind of feel like they did that this year.
Oh, I don't think they made the same mistake.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't mind yet another.
Because I look at that depth chart and they signed. Not only did they sign Mason Cole and James Daniels, they brought Chooks back, and then they added Trent Scott as well.
Yeah.
Who's a guy with NFL experience. So they added really three outside guys with NFL experience, and they didn't really lose anybody other than
Zach
Trey
Turner. Doesn't really count.
Yeah,
really.
Zach Banner
didn't play. Yeah.
He didn't play for you last year. So you replaced one NFL player in Trey Turner with three.
I mean, hopefully their starters are better, but their two deep is definitely better.
Yeah.
You know, especially even with like a LeGlue stepping up and looking like a keeper.
Well, right now I'm looking here on our lads, their depth chart. The Steelers' backup offensive line, Joe Haig, Kendrick Green, J.C. Hasenauer, John LeGlue, Trent Scott.
None of which would I hate seeing the field.
Yeah. I mean, those are all guys that have played in NFL games. Mm-hmm.
If they keep 10, that's a decent 10 to keep.
Yeah. I mean, you could do worse. And today, Kendrick Green worked with the ones.
They did worse last year.
Yeah.
So it's definitely an upgrade.
I kind of wish a Melvin Gordon was still on the open market. You know, not D'Angelo Williams. That's too good. But somebody that's been around the block at the running back position that's a little older.
Well, what about David Johnson? Still floating out there.
He might be shot.
You think he's done? No tread left on the tires?
I think him and Lev Bell have had similar career paths, and Johnson's kind of lasted just a little longer, but neither one moves the needle. But he's been my favorite name.
Yeah.
Because he's also a big back that can catch the ball like Najee really well.
And you think he'd know his role. That's a huge part of it.
Oh,
you
got
to know. You can't be blunt. You can't be LeGarrette Blount.
Also serve as the, not necessarily the adult in the room, but just a guy that a young guy like Najee Harris can go ask questions.
Protection schemes.
Yeah.
And how
do you set this guy up on this route?
That's what I was thinking, too.
Nature.
Like, Najee, you run a really good wheel route, but try this. Dip your shoulder a smidge. Or, you know what I mean? It worked really well for me 5 years ago, you know. But Johnson, like Bell, I lump those two together because they were really the two best backs in the league there for a three-year stretch or whatever.
Yeah.
But that was how many years ago?
It's been a while.
I mean, in running back years, it was an eternity.
Yeah. They're like dog years.
Yeah. Yeah. They age quick.
Each year's eight.
Yeah. But there might be somebody decent. There might be a brand name guy that gets cut.
And, I think they really do want to take a look at those two young guys, them being Mateo Durant and Jaylen Warren. I don't think those guys are just throwaways.
I don't think Durant's a throwaway at all.
Yeah. I mean, I
don't know as much about Warren, but.
He's a bigger back and mm-hmm. Has some pop to him and did well last year at Oklahoma State. So
much like Benny Snell, those guys will have to be special teamers.
Yeah, that's the key.
Can they convince Coach Smith that they're worth keeping around or taking a chance on?
And people are down on Benny Snell, as a just throw him in the game, spell Najee Harris type runner. And I get that, but I don't think that's what he is. I think he's your if something happens to Najee Harris. Go out and carry the ball 25 times for me.
Tom, I'm curious, do you think the book's written on Anthony McFarland?
No, he barely played last year. He was so injured last year.
I just feel like they've never trusted him.
But and now, they, had, and now they have so many guys that do the thing that he was brought in specifically to do. I mean, he was mainly brought in to be that pass-catching element opposite of James Conner, who just could not do that.
Juice.
Now you want to throw the ball to Najee just as much as you want to hand the ball off to Najee.
I think a big thing that hurt McFarland, too, was he came out the COVID year, so he had no preseason to show the coaches, I can step up and pick up the blitz, you know, in the preseason, in a game situation. So he was inactive a bunch. And that was a long time ago. I mean, he's had time to redeem himself, but not being active very often is not really boding well
for
him.
That's probably, it's now year three, and you're no longer on scholarship, even though you were a fourth-round pick. It's put-up-or-shut-up time.
Because I kind of feel like the McNichol signing was more of a shot at him than the backup to Najee.
Absolutely. I think I think
they're the same types.
I think you look at Durant or Warren as Snell competition.
Yeah.
And that's Anthony McFarland competition, although those guys are also in competition with Anthony McFarland. They seem to want that pass-catching type back.
Yeah, you know, that runs well, that's 205 pounds. Or something, you know what I mean? Not a little guy.
And that is Durant as well. I mean, that's kind of what he is, too.
Yeah, and preseason will have a lot to do with those guys. They're going to get a ton of carries, that whole group. The non-Najee running backs are going to get a lot of work.
It's going to be tough if they're going good in games to spell Najee. Like, if they're going week after week after week.
I always get asked that.
It's like the Lev Bell problem.
Right. Yeah, like, if you're winning week three, week four, week five, and he's just carrying you to victory, how are you going to game plan come week seven to spell him in the second quarter or a certain series?
More importantly, Tom, if you're losing and you're down by a touchdown, you're not taking him out of the game. Well, we could afford to have Najee on the sideline for this series.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, so all the talk about, we'd like to lessen his workload, that's fine to talk about, and hopefully it works out that way. But, it probably won't. He's going to be the offense this year.
Yeah. I used to be really critical of Tomlin in the Lev Bell era, just saying –
Quit
grinding him into the ground. And that's a front office way of looking at things. You know, like, a coach doesn't think about that when they're in Baltimore week 10
it's
with
third and six.
Windy and it's,
he's like, I run the wheels off. Your job is to find me another one. Right? that's how the coach thinks.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, like, if it's third and eight, Najee's your best back. If it's
third
and one, Najee's your best back. If it's short yardage, if it's receiving, it's protection.
You're not going to get down inside the five. Hey, Najee, come over here so Benny can run the –
Like, as great as Derrick Henry is, well, third and nine, there's somebody better on your team than him.
Right.
Or as great as Austin Eckler is, on third and one, there's probably somebody on the team better than him. But the way Najee and Lev were, they're the best at every running back skill set.
Yeah. Which makes it tough. I mean,
coaches don't care about keeping this guy for 10 years or, you know.
Najee's been asked about that ad nauseum, and he's like, look, I'm built for this. This is what I do.
He has the mentality and the physicality.
So when the player doesn't want to come out of the game either, that you know, he wants the football.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
I'm a high-volume guy. That's
well, I'm sure that's why they – I mean, I bet that was the number one trait they liked out of him coming out of Bama.
Yeah.
You know, we know how we use our backs. Most backs coming out of school can't handle that. I think this one can.
Yeah, that's attractive. That's why you go in the first round. That availability, that ability to take the football 20 to 25 times every game.
Right.
And then do it again the next week, and the next week, and the next week.
I always think Emmitt Smith, like when he was in the early 90s, he wasn't as good as Barry Sanders. But, man, they have a two-point lead against the Niners, and his arm's falling off. The ball's still going to Emmitt behind that line 30 times. You know, best of luck stopping him, and he's getting 6 yards a pop, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's the reality, that those guys are just built differently. And, again, it comes back to that athletic arrogance.
Yeah, it's a mindset, too.
You can't – like for Najee Harris, he can't go into any game thinking, boy, if I get 20 more carries in this game, I'm going to get hurt.
And with his work ethic and the way he is off the field, I bet every time they pull him off the sideline for a series, he's jumping out of his skin and making him crazy, too. Like, why am I over here? You know, right.
Yeah, I got to be in the game.
Right.
Again, it's that mentality that I need the football to help us win the game.
Yeah, the AB mentality.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the thing about Harris is he works like AB, which almost could be a detriment because he works so hard and so much. You got to hide his helmet sometimes.
They told him to go home last year, right?
Yeah,
they told him to get out of the south side. You're working too hard.
Right.
His high school coaches did that to him.
Mm-hmm. They're like, get out of the gym, man.
His high school coaches had to send him home. They would have to go check on him to make sure that he wasn't back working out again.
The anti-Kyler Murray.
Yeah, get a life.
Get a hobby.
Go to a movie.
Yeah. So that's just I understand the argument, but I don't, and I see both sides of it, but I also see what Mike Tomlin's looking at with that going.
And I think you draft him saying you pick up his fifth-year option, maybe a franchise, and if you get six really good years out of him, that's worth the first-round pick all day long.
Absolutely.
You know, you're that's not going for 10 years.
That's why they fully guaranteed his contract.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they didn't do that with Kenny Pickett, but they fully guaranteed Najee's because he plays that position. And, you know, that's a high
security, right.
Give him a little bit of security with that.
But I hate saying he is going to get hurt.
That's just the reality.
Henry, I'm not saying this
Mike
year
Tomlin
tomorrow,
says that. You know, every player in this game is going to get.
Yeah.
You know, that's just
especially
the reality
at that position.
Game. Yeah. Guys, that's going to do it.
Boom.
Beautiful. Day two.
How
in the books.
That? We put it in the books.
Tomorrow.
We will be back tomorrow, and we'll be back Saturday. No shows on Sunday. Remember, Saturday, the Hall of Honor class announced.
Yes.
That'll be a big deal. Tomorrow,
Bert join us too.
Tomorrow, Bert's going to join us to go over all the stuff happening out here and how to get out here, take advantage of all this stuff. We'll talk about Acrisure Stadium. So, lots of stuff to talk about with that, and everything is going to happen here in the preseason as well. Can't wait for that. Can't wait for tomorrow. Every day is a new day here at training camp. It's the beauty of it. It's like Groundhog Day, but every day there's something new.
There's always something going on.
Absolutely. But so for my partner, Matt Williamson, for Tom Opferman joining us here as he has done the last 2 days now, I am Dale Lally. We thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.
When you want black and gold football talk, you want SNR.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.